I don't want to set the world on fire. I don't remember the rest of the words.
I just want to start a flame in your heart.
There it is. That's right, everyone. It's Fallout Watch.
Oh, well, it's already out, but yeah.
It's here. I haven't seen it, though.
I've seen the first two.
But Fallout's here. There's a television show, a television program.
Is. It's got me reinterested in the universe.
And disappointed in 4.
Yeah. I knew I wasn't going to like 4. But man, the first like hour of that game kills it.
And not in a good way?
No, it kills the game. Not kills it as in like, that's so sick, it killed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just feel like, I was planning on playing 4 because I didn't think I would love it, but I didn't think I would hate it. I can't start with New Vegas because I love New Vegas like a lot. It's a great gaming experience. But like 4, it really seems like someone like saw the posters that Fallout like the obvious propaganda that 1 through 3 and New Vegas like are trying to peddle on people, like it was better in the old days, and thought, oh, okay, it was better in the old days. Let's make a game about that. I can't believe no one's done that before. It's like, well, I think,
Yeah, because I think that the entire premise of the good old days, things were better at a certain point in the past, it's always a lie. Like, not even in that game, but like, it's what it always is. Like, people are like, white picket fences and mother, father, 2 kids.
Kids
didn't single have income home. You know, 1950s bliss, quote unquote. It's like that didn't exist for a majority of people.
No, it didn't. It was a thing. And like Fallout particularly is like being very sarcastic about that. Like, why pick offenses? But actually, it was rampant consumerism and maybe some slavery and some things, and it led to the end of the world. Ooh. But this game doesn't like it takes those satires and that sarcasm and reads it as like honest
sincerity
in like a pursuit of like a centrist like unoffensive middle that actually I find deeply offensive. Just because like it's not offensive to me politically, but it's offensive to me like as a Fallout fan.
Yeah, just because the series was so not tongue-in-cheek.
Well,
maybe a little. I'm just feeling like that's usually a little bit too, like, ha-ha.
It's a dark humor.
Yeah, it's like a dark satire.
For sure. I don't understand what they were thinking. Robbing Fallout of its edge in several ways. I decided, because I got most of that from the tutorial, and then I did like the you wake up in the vault part.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played Fallout 4 before, so I was playing it on my Steam Deck, and like I think the experiment the vault was running is the right tone, and I was like, ah, yes. But it's really like not like the world was corrupt and we needed to get rid of it. It's really more like Vault Tech was corrupt. Like, oh, I can't believe Vault Tech did this in our great world. And you don't have to read it that way, I don't think. But like, you find like the Minutemen pretty quick. Have you played the game at all? I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I played it when it first came out.
You find the Minutemen pretty quick, and they're like, oh yeah, you remember that world you like were a part of? Well, why don't you help us make that by making these settlements? I'm like, oh. Not only is the misunderstanding of like what Fallout is like in this game, like it's a mechanic. Like you're asking me to like invest in this idea of the world, and I just was like, no.
Well, it's just those East Coast liberal elites, their twisted ideals.
Yeah, I don't know who this game is for. I struggle with that. It's like people who want the aesthetic of Fallout. So I ended up watching a review in just the last like hour. I'll give him a shout out, you know, because he probably needs our shout out.
He probably is listening right now. He's like, please talk about what I said.
But he's just the most insightful, like, video game critic. Noah Caldwell Gervasi. He does like these like really long, like this vault. This one is almost 8 hours. But it's on like the whole franchise. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to all of it through Fallout 3, through all of Fallout New Vegas, because I've played all that, but I wasn't gonna listen to 4 until afterwards. And he basically kind of says a lot of the same things that kind of stood out to me while playing it. I didn't want any part of it.
Yeah, and just from a gameplay perspective, I just feel like narratively it's weaker. Kind of the player choice is sort of whittled down.
Yeah, yeah. The character progression, I think I gained 2 or 3 levels. It was nothing.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
I need to play New Vegas, and I need to watch the show, which is what I was getting at, but
we
went in another direction.
You do need to. The show is very it's very brutal.
Well, that's Fallout, baby.
That's Fallout, yeah. And the brutality is definitely making a point. But the first 2 episodes are very good. I feel like they're pretty classic Fallout in a lot of ways. I may, just to finish my thought, just because I have to, I may actually continue with 4, because he says in the review that the whole thing is fairly unobtrusive. You just kind of play it. But there is a expansion pack for it.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
Is it the Bar Harbor one?
Far Harbor.
Yeah. Far Harbor, because there's Bar Harbor in like Maine.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be like incredible.
Maybe go for that.
It's supposed to be pretty incredible. Apparently, all 3 Bethesda games have like 1 expansion that is just amazing. The one in Fallout 3 is quite amazing. It's what was it called?
I don't know if I played any of those.
Point Lookout.
Is that the alien one?
No, you don't want to play the alien.
Okay, whatever you say.
Well, the alien one, it breaks the game in terms of the loot you get, and it's just not fun. It's just like, go down this corridor and kill everything. Go down this corridor and kill everything.
Oh, yeah, that's not fun.
Do you want to bomb the Earth for fun? Okay, we're done now.
So silly. So silly. But yeah, Fallout, it's a thing that exists.
It's a thing. It's good.
You should watch it. But maybe don't play 4.
Or do. I don't know.
Don't listen to us.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you play Fallout more for the scavenging and the... I love the dark humor of Fallout. I'm always going to default to like that dark humor that it has. But maybe that's not your thing. That's okay.
To each their own, to each their own. Sometimes I wish that I could change, but not for me, for you. So we could be together forever. But I know that I won't be for you. Cause where were you for me? When I needed someone, when I needed someone, when I needed you, you.
In honor of something that should have happened in one of these episodes that didn't, Henshin! How are they not going to give Renge a writer form at the end of the 2nd episode?
I'm saying with QB?
She had like the necklace and she called on the 5 spirits.
Oh, that's true. She had the planet. She had all the planet chemies.
They like formed into cards, and I was like, oh man, we're getting a new writer? No.
No, we're not.
She just did some kind of weird magic attack with him. Come on.
It was right there. Right there. But what show is this? What show are people listening to right now?
Oh, yeah. This is Henshin Fever. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
And I'm your other host, Cameron. We kind of lost the plot there.
We lost the plot. But I was just... I was thrown. Yes. And I needed to talk about it.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Yeah.
Sorry we're a bit like a week late, everyone. The eclipse. Yes. The eclipse got us.
Yeah,
that's not a joke.
Life got us. I am just today feeling better from a sinus infection. Or that could have gotten.
Yeah, I mean, a number of things.
Yeah.
Chance contracted the elephant flu.
I didn't. I did see elephants.
He was patient zero of the elephant flu. Look out. The elephant flu's coming.
If that turns me into some sort of were-elephant, I'm okay with it.
I don't think so. We lived through swine flu.
Okay. Okay, fine. Cameron, I have now pet an elephant, which is not something I could say the last time we did one of these shows.
That's true. Or the last time we were planning to do this one.
Have you ever pet an elephant?
I can't say that I have.
Well, so I got to pet it. Like, I gave it a carrot, and then I got to pet its trunk.
Uh-huh. And did it pick you up and place you upon its back?
It didn't.
Ah, bummer.
But have you ever approached a, like, over 2-ton behemoth with food that it wants? It's kind of actually a little nerve-wracking.
I would imagine. It's just like, I don't think you would kill me, but you certainly could. Yeah, and you possibly might.
I kind of think this may be a thing that's unique to people like you and me, because there's not a lot of things that are just like way bigger than us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up around cows, and they're pretty big.
They are pretty big, but you're like, you're taller than them mostly.
Yeah, that's true. Like, they got me poundage-wise, but
yeah,
I can look down on them, and that's got to be something.
I don't know. I was just approaching this thing with food, and like my wife and son, I feel like, did it easier than me. I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm used to this.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'm, like, it was way above my head. Like, its head was probably weighed as much as I did. It was just kind of scary. I mean, the coolest creatures. They were so neat and so gentle. My son just loved petting them. But
I'm sure that mine would too, especially my little one.
But yeah, it was just an experience I don't have. I'm approaching this creature with food that it wants. And I have it.
Wild.
For everyone, there was an elephant sanctuary in our state that was in the vast totality. And so I spent the eclipse hanging out with elephants.
Probably the ultimate way to experience an eclipse.
I'm saying.
Probably better than spending it with a bunch of seventh graders.
Yeah. And not even getting totality. Cameron, totality is something else.
Yes. I had many coworkers that went there to witness it in different places.
Oh, they went to the elephant sanctuary?
Well, not to that one, but they went in the path of totality.
Yeah, it was really cool and kind of scary, because like I didn't know that it got that dark, and I didn't know that like it really did look like a black sun. Like it's so different than I thought. And I watched a Hank Green video about it earlier, and he was like, yeah, I think it's like, it was so much weirder than I thought. I think it's because in the 40 years I've lived on this planet, the sun's never, the sky doesn't do that.
The elephant thing was new. The sun thing was new. It was a big day for you.
It was. It was really cool though. We were celebrating my wife's birthday. Her favorite animal is elephants.
Doesn't get much better.
And getting to pet an elephant was on her bucket list. So
there's the bucket. Put that in the dream drop bucket.
Put it in the dream drop bucket. Yeah, so it was really cool. Yes, it is one of only 2 animal sanctuaries in America.
Really?
One of only 2, and it has the oldest elephant on the North American continent. Her name is Susie, and she is 87.
Wow, 87 years young. Happy birthday, Susie.
Yeah, Susie, we got to hear a whole presentation about Susie. And they said if they keep taking care of her and she doesn't get sick, she can live to be a little over 100.
Wow.
Which I did not know.
I had no idea.
So, yeah, it's really cool. Check them out. ARC Endangered Foundation, Elephant Sanctuary in Oklahoma. Check it out.
Of all the places for there to be an elephant sanctuary.
Yeah, I agree. But it's cool. I mean, they live on the savannah. Yeah. Oklahoma is just a savanna.
Just a savanna. Just a short grass prairie.
Yeah.
And a mixed grass prairie. Some tall grass prairie. We don't need to get into all of that.
We don't.
I was just thinking about Oklahoma's ecosystems. We have 12 distinct ecosystems in Oklahoma.
Wow.
This podcast episode has turned into an Oklahoma travel video. our Secretary of Education or our state superintendent's terrible. He and is. Our governor's terrible.
He is.
But we have elephants.
But we do. We
and have, 12 distinct ecosystems.
We do. We have an elephant sanctuary. That's really great to watch a total solar eclipse at.
Makes sense to me.
I'm just saying, Cameron, get out to a totality one before you go.
Apparently, the one in 2045 is passing over Norman.
Oh, is it?
From what I've heard.
That's great. Yeah, that'll be cool.
I'm excited for that. Just 21 years.
Yeah. I've told my wife we need to get out to as many as we can because it was a really cool experience.
I think in 2024, there's one in Spain. Maybe we should all just go.
I'm down. Let's do it. Oh, wait. I think that one passes Iceland, too, though.
That's pretty cool. This isn't an eclipse podcast.
Okay, fine. I won't say what you could imagine.
What could I imagine?
Could you imagine if we were in Iceland and the eclipse happened and it got so dark you could see the northern lights?
Wow, that would be crazy. I wonder how that would work because typically that's like a solar flare hitting Earth's magnetic field.
Well, there are parts of northern Iceland, northern Greenland, even like northern Scotland that have just northern lights all year round because they're where the solar energies interact. Mm-hmm.
I'd just be curious
with the eclipse.
You know, the moon's in the way.
Yeah, I have no idea.
How will that affect? But you know, this isn't a science podcast. Hank Green, come on the show. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, tell us how that would work. Could you see the northern lights during an eclipse?
I mean, it's worth knowing.
It is. It'd be really cool.
The Green brothers are both allowed on this show.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to start a list on this show.
Yeah. For those who don't listen to our other podcast, we have a list of people who aren't allowed, but we'll have a list of people who are allowed on this one.
Mm-hmm. Amy Jo Johnson, come on the show.
Amy Jo Johnson? Anyone really in Toku except for the Red Wild Force Ranger. You can't come on the show.
What happened to him?
He's in jail for beheading someone with a sword.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, not allowed.
No, I just don't want him.
Yeah, he seems like he might be busy. but you know. We're not here to talk about eclipses and fallout, and I think that's all we've talked about. The beauties and wonders of this great state that we live in called Oklahoma. You should really come visit, I guess. But we're here to talk about all things, apparently all things Toku at this point.
It's true. Cameron, I can't not talk about Boom Boomger.
You can't. You can't not talk about it.
It's so good.
It's just so pure.
So I just watched all my episodes today because I wasn't able to last week, and that's why we didn't record. And man, knowing that there was one more Boom Boomger that I couldn't watch that was just sitting there, It was hard.
When I watched them last week, which was the last time that I watched them, so I'm not coming in super fresh. I read a little bit of a recap about three of the episodes, so we're going to see how it goes for me. But if that was an option for me to keep watching, it would have been tough.
Yeah, it would have been tough because I was in. I was like, yes, give me more of this. Inject it right into my veins.
Mm-hmm. So I think this week we can just switch it up because last time we did Boom Boomger first and then Gotchard.
Mm-hmm.
I figure this week we can do Gotchard first and then Boom Boomger.
And the reason for that is?
Because it's good.
Oh, I was going to say, because there's nothing to talk about in Gotchard.
No, there is definitely that, too. When I saw the teasers for these two episodes of Gotchard, I got extremely excited.
Why?
Because it seemed, and it almost was, it seemed like we were going to have a murder mystery on our hands. And I feel like if they just committed to that, it would have been incredible.
But that's not what we got.
That's not what we got. But if that's what we ended up with, for some reason in my mind, I saw like a few teaser images and I was like, and the preview for the first episode. And I was like, we're going to have this like spirit guide, shaman, whatever. Mm-hmm. And something's going to happen and he's going to get murdered. And it's going to be up to the gang to like solve the murder.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is what had happened, perfection. Sign me up. Because we're sort of in like this post... The big bad guy almost got away with it and was thwarted, sort of a reset. And so it's like, if we'd have just had it, we end up with this little side adventure kind of. But if we'd have ended up with like that level of side adventure, like a murder mystery, just like forget about it.
Yeah, it would have been great. I am not going to lie. While these episodes were not difficult to watch, when I finished watching them, I was like, I never need to see those.
Yeah, they're not great. There's some good moments.
Go ahead.
There's some good moments.
I can't even think what the good moments are.
Well, I'm thinking like when the two Kimmies are like at the first episode are like scaring everyone and like Rin's just laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Like we get that kind of repeat of when they're at the haunted house, but just realizing like she's not laughing because she, like everyone's scared, because there's even moments when she's the only one and she's laughing. It's like she just has such fun with like scary things.
Yeah, she enjoys
it. And I just think that that's kind of sweet. And like the moment in the first episode where Lachesis goes to Minato and is just like, come on, you're supposed to save us. You're supposed to do something and you didn't do it. And then, you know, her sister's attack and all of that stuff. But it was just like, and it seems like that's going to be more of a thing in the coming episodes. But if it was just more of that.
I didn't watch the next time on, so I'm not sure, but.
Well, I've just seen, like, again, teaser images and things.
Yeah, I think this could have, I think these episodes were kind of wasted opportunity. And I think that way for a few reasons. One, it was just kind of zany silliness when it could have really been saying something.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of interesting thoughts about, like, oh, man, the way Japanese people think about, like, gods and the supernatural is way different than ours. And I think that's super interesting. I don't think this show needs to, like, necessarily, like, focus on that because that's just...
Yeah,
a cultural difference. Well, it's just a cultural difference, right? Like, it's, but...
They're not examining the difference between
there
and here because they're not focused on here.
Yeah, they're not focused on here at all. But I had that thought, and I thought, like, there's a lot of interesting things in this. Like, it's a rare focus on Renge. But we don't learn anything new about Renge, except maybe, like, where she's from and she loves her grandma.
Both nice things, but again, it's not really any development.
No, we don't really get any development. And she's, like, kind of the person who always stands up, maybe even when she shouldn't. Mm-hmm. So the moment at the end, I'm just treating both episodes as one at this point, where she, like, stands up to the scary thing. Was kind of like, yeah, you do that all the time.
Obviously, you're going to do that.
Like, we didn't get a character moment. We didn't get, like, a... We got this, like, oh, that was sweet. Renge loves her grandma. But we didn't... I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like we didn't get much.
Yeah, there were, like, some moments that I thought were, interesting in terms of... And this is... I don't know how if we're just going to talk through it or if we're already just talking about it.
I think we're just talking about it. Because, like, what would we say? Like, what would we
There's not much to say. There's some... They think there's yokai that are in Renge's grandma's village. So she's... Yeah, obviously they're going to be Kimmies. There's this guy who's, like, shaman there to... Like, an exorcist, basically. And Kajiki's with him for some reason.
Yeah. I am so over Kajiki being in this show.
Uh-huh. He does... Not Kajiki. The other guy does have some sort of power, but it's because he has Kimmies on his necklace. He doesn't know that. But then there's like some land developers that are trying to get everybody to leave the town so that they can turn it into an industrial waste dumping ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normal stuff. All that industrial waste has to go somewhere because there keeps being fights in all the industrial complexes.
It's true.
This is our industrial waste... destroyed industrial waste complex dumping ground over there. One has to exist in Tokyo because in Japan somewhere because of all the fighting. But it turns out there's these Kimmies, but then for some reason Atropo is there and she makes the Kimmies go into these land developer guys and they attack the town, but then they get defeated. And then something else is coming and it seems like it's killing these people, but they're just knocked out. And it's very clear that they're just knocked out, but everyone's acting like they're dead. And it turns out there's another Kimmy who's like a nine-tailed fox that is attacking people, and they don't really know why. But turns out it was trying to lead them to a hot spring
to revitalize
the town, which would save the town.
Which I didn't know we were trying to do.
No, you know, whatever. But so that's the recap. That's the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And nothing, if you did the Minato and the sisters part and you did the part where Atropo talks to Rin, and you did nothing else from this episode, you're done. You got it.
It's pretty good. I did find it interesting, though, a couple of things.
Okay.
One, I feel like the camera work in these two episodes is so interesting. Like, just the shots that they choose to make, like when there's something in the closet and she opens the closet and we get the perspective from the closet out at Rengi and she's just like seeing what's in there. And then, you know, she gets licked by the lamp chemi thing. I don't know what exactly it is. And just some of the things, like when she meets her grandma and her grandma's like, come on, I'm going to carry you on my back. And she's like, no, like you're old, like you can't do that. And then we just see her carrying her through the village. And it's just this long extended shot. And I feel like because there's so little happening, they're able to luxuriate in some of those sequences, like where Rin and Hotaro and Rengi are like walking up the steps to go to the shrine. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's very long. And it's like ordinarily we would just cut to the chase, but we're just watching them be tired as they walk up these steps. And like it's a moment of like levity and comedy. But normally in an episode, they wouldn't have that.
Yeah, they wouldn't have that time. Yeah, they do, especially in the second episode, that they do a really funny like hold on the steps while they walk up and all the steps and complain about it the whole time.
Mm-hmm. A real Final Fantasy VII Shinra Tower moment.
Yes. Yes.
Which, the worst part of Final Fantasy VII Remake is I took the stairs for comedy because it's so funny in Final Fantasy VII, and it was the most miserable experience because for some reason they make you get slower and slower as you run up the stairs. And there's nothing super funny being said. And the people, Tifa and Barret, are way far ahead of you. And you can barely hear them as you're going as fast as you can, which is not very fast, running up the stairs. And it's so annoying. And it's dumb. And I hate it.
Yeah.
That's unrelated. But Final Fantasy VII Remake destroyed one of the best parts, which is running up the stairs to Shinra Tower.
Which is running up the stairs to Shinra Tower, yeah.
Obviously. The other thing that I want to talk about is Kamen Rider Gotchard does a Geats.
Okay.
In this episode. They're at a village with a shrine. What is in the shrine? A fox. Kamen Rider Geats. Last episode. Shrine with a fox.
Yeah.
The Kimmy is a nine-tailed fox. What is Geats? He's a nine-tailed fox.
Yeah.
It just, it all lines up. That's all. That's all that really lines up.
I do wish we had seen Ace or he had done the fox symbol or something. But there was no real reference.
No, but it was just kind of like, oh, that's fun.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, I love Geats. I'm really surprised there hasn't been a crossover movie yet.
There is a crossover movie.
There is?
Yeah, that was the movie.
Is Geats in that movie? I haven't seen the movie. I don't know.
I haven't seen it either, but I know they have a Desire Grand Prix.
Oh, okay. I know that Gotchard is in the Geats movie.
Maybe that's it.
As like a preview. Maybe this last movie. You're talking about the one where Rin gets her powers?
Or maybe there's two movies that I'm thinking of.
I was unaware of that being a crossover movie, but
I know there is a crossover movie.
Well, in the Four Foxes movie, which is the epilogue movie of Geats, Gotchard is in it. Because I've seen that movie.
No, there's Kamen Rider, the winter movie, Gotchard and Geats, Strongest Kemi Star, Great Gotcha Operation, which is the movie.
That's the one where Majade.
That came out in December. Yeah, it features Rene Kudo's debut as Kamen Rider Majade, ahead of her television debut in episode 19.
I did not know that was the crossover movie. Because all that people talk about in it is that Majade got her power.
Well, yeah, because that's all that's relevant here. But right there on the cover is Geats and Gotchard, both riding motorcycles.
They haven't made it available for us yet.
No, which is rather rude.
We will review it when it comes out.
Apparently it's coming to DVD and Blu-ray April 24th.
We'll get it sometime around then.
Maybe that's a sign. A sign of what's to come. I'm just looking here. on a website that shall remain undisclosed.
Yes.
Just, you know, maybe it's here.
It's not. I just
looked. Kamen Rider Gazer, the movie.
Oh, are you in Geets?
I'm just in Kamen Rider movies.
Oh.
There's Kamen Rider Geets, Yamato Awakening movie. Yeah.
Geets is
about the Four Aces in a Black Fox movie. Then the but they just released the Gazer, Kamen Rider Gazer, the movie.
I don't know what that one is. I don't know what Yamato Awakening is either. I know all the others.
Ooh, it looks like it's I'm gonna have to watch this. That's a different look for Geets. And then there was the Punk Jack movie too.
Yeah, the V Cinema.
But I haven't watched that either. I haven't watched any of the Geets movies because I was saving them.
Yeah. I wish I liked Four Aces and the Black Fox more than I did. But I really love its Revice crossover movie.
I thought it was so funny watching Geets, and then suddenly the Black Fox is just there, and there's another character, and they're just watching something happen, and I'm like, oh, who are they? And then nothing.
Nothing. They're for this movie. It's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. But I watched it, and then I watched Trio of Deep Sin.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, Trio of Deep Sin.
Yeah, I need to watch more Saber. I've watched through 9 at this point.
I would go out on a limb and say Trio of Deep Sin is like one of my top 10 favorite movies.
Just movies, period?
Just movies, period. It's wow. Really good.
Oh, did you see that Suzume is on Netflix now?
Oh, no, I didn't. I love
it. I need to watch it. I need to watch it. Maybe tomorrow I'll watch it.
I watched it in theaters.
I know.
I need to watch Weathering with You.
With me?
Weathering with You with You.
Watch Weathering with You with me?
Sure.
Sounds like fun. That sounds like a good time.
But anyway.
But yeah. Gotchard, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's I feel like we've hit the highlights. There's not much to say. There doesn't feel like there's any big developments. And there doesn't necessarily need to be. It feels like a breath before we get back into it. I was a little disappointed.
Just because I really didn't want to go back to like the first 10 episode thing.
Uh-huh.
The Fox Kemi is really cool. It's got this little giggle the entire time. That's pretty neat.
I did like the when it was in the amalgam form, like it had its hands like prayer hands.
Yeah.
The whole time. Like, you know, it always has the two sets of hands and the one hand that are frozen.
Yeah.
And it was like
I also liked the attention to detail that it was a silver amalgam.
Uh-huh.
Not one of Grayon's gold amalgams, because Grayon's cube thingy didn't make it.
Right.
So I liked that attention to detail. Atropos still has her weird obsession with Rin.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah,
she just wants a friend.
They used the word abhor. I abhor you. in the translation, which was kind of fun. Yeah, but there's not much to talk about. The biggest development for me was I finally gave up on Kijiki.
Uh-huh.
I've been hoping that he will become a part of this show that is entertaining, and he's just not.
Yeah, he just seems like he should have been at this point.
Yeah, and I think part of the like frustration for me there is just like, how do I put it? Like, I still don't know why he was ever supposed to be important. Like, is he Hotaro's best friend? Is he just a guy in Hotaro's class and they sometimes hang out? Like, I still haven't even gotten like a...
Yeah, who is this guy?
Who is this guy? And he doesn't show up enough to be like consistent comic relief, like kind of Bulk and Skull-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Who were always there. They almost became a comfort in the episodes.
Good old Bulk and Skull.
Terrible
name.
Huh?
I feel like if I was just a big fellow like him, I don't think I would want people to call me Bulk.
I mean, I would, but just because of Power Rangers.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you just got to think the psychic damage that does to a person.
The psychic toll. But yeah, it's a good episode. It's fine. I was pretty disappointed, I'm not going to lie. There would have been a part of me if Renge had become a writer, where I would have been like, oh man, another one. But there's also like, she had those 5 cards. In the 5 cards, we haven't really talked about them, but they're like a set. Each one is an element and a planet. And it's like, man, that would be like a perfect set to transform into a writer with.
Yeah. Instead, it was just a necklace.
Yeah, it was just a necklace. Man, even if like Majade had given her driver real quick, she'd become like her own unique Majade form or something.
Mm-hmm. Like a second, not a secondary, a tertiary rider. Tertiary, yeah. Temporary rider. We know this show loves to give new forms and then they never come back to them.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the harm? What's the harm, you know?
We did say see Opera Skibu, though.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
You know, it's come back.
I was a little disappointed just because I didn't see the purpose of these episodes. But Cameron thinks there's something good coming down, so let's just hope for that.
But we can hope. I can only speculate. But it seems like there will be more on the Lachesis front.
Okay. That's good, because she's one of the big... I assumed we would go straight into her redemption arc. Uh-huh. There was a part of me that had hoped for a time skip, but a redemption arc for Lachesis is what I assumed we would go into.
We can only hope. But that's enough of this Gotchard talk. Let's gotcha and go.
Boom, boom, change!
Yeah, I'm getting cranked up right now.
Bagwage.
It's really cranks me up thinking about all of this. Go, go, go!
Go, go, go!
Good old Boondario Boondarians.
This show is a delight. It just is.
It really is. Just like start to finish. Every time I watch an episode, I'm just like, that was fun. I watched a little bit of, I think it was the fifth episode with my 5-year-old. And he was just very into it.
Is that the one where we get our fourth member?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's so good.
He was watching with me when they were in the warehouse. And then, like, when just the entire, like, Rainbow Road sequence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Monster Fight, he watched all of that with me. And was just like, what is happening? <It's> so there's kind of part of me is like, I wish I knew.
I think what's kind of masterful about this show to me is that it is so, like, we just get this little bite of a plot. Like, a lot of it's just fun, but there's just a little bite of a plot that continues over to each episode. Like, we had Pink gets the Morpher. Blue doesn't trust Pink to be a good ranger. We get their public debut. And now the cops want to get involved with
The International Space Agency.
Yes, the International Space
Agency. Not just the cops, the feds, the super feds.
The super feds.
International feds. Whatever's above federal.
And I think it's so brilliant to just have that little like bite of plot instead of like, I feel like Gotchard had like too much plot in their episodic episodes in their first 10 episodes. When they were being super episodic.
Mm-hmm.
Like they try to get us to care about characters and things like that. I feel like,
but I almost feel like I care more about these now 4 Rangers. Boomgers more than about Hotaro and pals.
Well, and I think that's kind of the point. Like you've got the super cool Red Ranger, the mysterious Blue Ranger, the energetic Pink Ranger, and now the do-gooder Black Ranger. And it's like, that's what we know about them. That's all we need to know about them.
Mm-hmm. They like have their role and they slot into their role. And it's like, there's something to be said for tropes, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, when you're playing with tropes, you can and know what to expect, but then you can also be delighted when those expectations are subverted in some way,
mm-hmm.
which they haven't been yet.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, I can know kind of what to expect. And I can just have fun with it.
Yeah. And I think a big thing, too, with why this works so well. Because I was watching the first episode. There's a sauna monster and...
Get blissed.
The International Space Agency, which is basically the cops, are trying to take over the Boom Boongers operation. Like, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole plot. And I'm trying to figure out why it works so well. And one, it's like they just chose the most likable character traits ever. Like, I don't want Red to subvert my expectations. I just want him to be exactly who he is.
Be awesome.
Yeah, because he's so cool.
Yeah, and the same with like Blue, where he's just like smooth and knowledgeable and like the guy who gets things done.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And like Pink at the beginning where she gets arrested because she was helping some people and then being like, I'm Boone Pink. Woo. And then gets arrested because she couldn't help, but you know, save the day, save the kids who were in danger. And it's nice. Like that's who I want them to be. Cause that's who they are.
Yeah. And yeah, like you just said, it's just delight after delight. I've never sad about it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You look concerned.
Oh no, I was just thinking, just wondering if I think it would be if this was like not necessarily for this show, like if that's what this show is most of the way through, where it's like them as characters thrown in these different scenarios and then playing to their strengths and you know, overcoming. Like that's cool. That's fun. But if that was like every show, that'd get a little boring. It's weird to say that it's fresh when it's just characters playing to their type.
Yeah, even the two like main bad guys, they're barely in the show. Like barely at all.
Much to their chagrin.
Yeah, much to their chagrin. But I love them. And I think I kind of figured out why I love them. I was watching a review for the first three episodes, and someone said they're basically Team Rocket. And I was like, they are basically Team Rocket.
Yeah, I mean basically.
Like they even in one episode have like an opening monologue.
Uh-huh.
And they're just like, they come in, I think they're funny for like 2 seconds. They don't overstay their welcome. They make the monster. They make some joke about making humans go gah and taking up the gasoline.
Yeah, I almost feel like that gah. I almost said gyat, which is a different thing. Gyatsoline is different.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the term gyat?
No.
You're lucky. Basically, it's just a term that Gen Alpha likes to use a lot to describe like someone with a big butt.
Oh, okay.
Or like a luscious booty.
Karen, don't say it like that. No.
But yeah, it's terrible. It's pretty bad, like annoying. But they get the gasoline. But I feel like what they're setting up, and I feel like episode 4 kind of points to that, whereas like the gasoline is almost like the people's despair.
Yeah,
in a way. Because it's like even when they're all getting like super steamed and like boiled alive, where they're like the temperature is 80 degrees. And at first I was like, that's not so bad. And then they hold up the paper and it says 80 degrees Celsius. And I'm like, oh, that is very bad. That's actually, they should probably not even be alive. But it's like, then the Rangers show up and they stop. Not because they're still in their distress. They're still being boiled alive. But the Rangers are there. And so they're hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like setting up that like despair and hope situation.
I think it is too, but I think it's doing it through the medium of just like screams.
Uh-huh. But it's like they don't feel despair and they don't scream anymore because the Rangers are there, even if the monster is still there.
Yeah.
And I feel like that. I like that.
Yeah.
It seems good to me.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I feel like they do it just enough. I feel like the show is perfect in pacing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just enough for me to get the stakes, but then the Rangers come in and like break the stakes.
Yeah. And I feel like, I think it was in this episode 4. Again, I don't know if we're just going to go beat by beat or just talk about the episodes.
I don't think we need to go beat by beat just because
we'd be
here. You know the plot now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the plot. There's a sauna monster. And then they fight him and they beat him. And the ISA wants to take over the Boom Boomers. But it's just this moment where even like, soon to be Orange Ranger, like we know he's going to be the orange one, but when they're there and I don't know if they're fighting or something, but he's just on the bridge overlooking them and he's like, hey, I have a delivery for you. And they're like, what are you talking about? He's like, I need you to deliver the Boom Boomers and like actually do what you're supposed to do. And like just in his own way, like brings them back in.
Yeah because the lady who is Black Superior, Boom Boom Black, his superior, she's not letting them go because she says they need to like the ISA needs to take over, and they need to re-recruit everybody, and they need to check all their equipment. But like, as they're like suffering sauna heat because the monster makes like it makes it incredibly hot outside, they're all calling out for the Boom Boongers, and they're just like, "We're going anyway." And even I don't know the Black Ranger's name, so I'm just gonna keep going.
I think it's just Joe.
Is it Joe?
J-O-U.
Okay, Joe. Sure. Joe's even he who's not a ranger is like, "Yes, I'm going too. Like, it's our job to help you. Sorry for disobeying orders." And they take off. And they do it.
But I just like that moment of like, I need you to deliver the Boom Boongers.
Yes. Yes.
Like, all right. Moment. All right, Mr. Procurement Officer.
Yeah. And I do enjoy how at the beginning of this episode, like they arrest Pink. She gets taken to an interrogation room. And I feel like they kind of play with our expectations a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
where we're going to be like, oh, she's going to be hiding her identity the whole time. And then like Red just calls on the phone. It's like, "Hey, I'm this person. And come on down and see everything." Like, and I was like, oh, it's not going to be some big, like, it's not going to be a big secret.
Yeah, because the episode starts where they're like, who are these tire-headed people?
Yeah.
Whatever. You're like, oh, is this going to be like a plot point over the thing?
Nope.
It's like, no, in this episode, everyone knows they're the Boom Boongers, and the ISA knows specifically who they are.
Yep, and he just, well, and I think that's what was so great about a character like Boon Red, who's got to be who he is because of the success of Geats. I do think he is different than Geats in many ways, but still that like BA who always has a plan.
Yukio Ace was reincarnated again.
Ooh.
And he is Taya, the Red Ranger.
Taya is Ace. Ooh, I love it. It would make sense. All the wealth. But yeah, so that's what's so great about him, because like you expect him to do the unexpected, but like just that call of being like, "Hi, I'm Taya, and this is so and so, and my friend is so and so."
Yeah, and I also just thought it was a lot of fun when they go off to fight the monster, and ISA lady is just there hanging out with Bundorio, yes. And he's like, "Hey, you want some curry?"
He just keeps
finishes and he's like, "Hey, you want some more curry?" Just like keeps giving her curry.
It's true.
And she over the course of the episode is just like, she just loves it.
Yeah.
She like loves that she's in the midst of all of this.
She loves Bundorio. Yeah, she does. And yeah, later on in the episode, he's like, "Hey, pretty lady." And she's church, "You call me pretty."
I mean, the lady working for the International Space Agency trying to deal with aliens meets an alien. He makes delicious curry and calls her pretty. Like, that's gotta be a dream.
That's a good day.
That's like, that's what you want. That's what you sign up and join the force for, you know?
They're characterizing her so much. I have to assume she's going to be our sixth grade. I just have to.
I think it was a toy thing where there will be like a purple ranger.
I've seen the listing for Boom Violet, yeah, but I've not seen.
I don't know who it is or an image. Yeah,
yeah. I've seen the listing for Boom Violet, but I don't know who it is.
Apparently, the rumor is they're a little antagonistic.
That could be her.
No, could be.
She's
literally the sixth person we've seen.
Well, yeah. In recent Sentai series, the rival ranger has been a thing. There's been like a classic sixth ranger and also a rival ranger. So we'll see if I feel like, and I could be wrong, I am not the biggest Sentai aficionado, but I feel like the rival ranger, I feel like this is trying to be more classic Sentai. So I feel like they may only go to six.
Guess we'll see.
Yeah. I have not seen enough, and I don't follow the leaks and stuff like that, but
Violet with evil.
But I would love for it to be her. She would be the first sixth ranger who's a girl.
Man, wasn't Green with Evil so good though?
It was.
Like just experiencing that, just thinking when I was like 6 years old, and just it was like high drama.
It was just
every day after school. Just incredible, incredible stuff.
It was. It was very good. I think it has been topped, but it is good.
I don't know I didn't watch as much as you, so.
That's true. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens with that. But yeah, they're I don't know, her and Bundonio's quote-unquote relationship is cute.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically that episode.
Yeah, that's the episode. No new mecha or anything. I do like that they use the unscrewing
mm-hmm.
technique again. To,
you know, when your only tool is a screwdriver, all the problems look like screws.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But it's a great episode. And then they agree to Ace's, or not Ace. they agree to Taya's terms that they'll operate independently, but the
share information.
Share information. And he says, they say, we need someone like observing your team. And he chooses Joe.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
Naturally. Cut to the next episode.
Joe shows up wearing black overalls. It's so Jover.
It's so what?
It's Jover.
Is that just over
it's,
and
it's
Joe?
It's just over but Joe. Because it's like, I mean, we already knew because we've seen the ending credits, the dance number where he's in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, character shows up wearing a specific color.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there it is. This
yeah. is it. And he says that he wants to be a Boom Boonger, and Taya asks him why. And he's like, well, I always looked up to superheroes. And Taya's like, you're not ready.
Mm-hmm. He's even just like, you look so cool.
Yeah.
More or less. He's like, no, sorry. She's like, what? No.
While all this is happening, Team Rocket's playing darts.
I like how we just call them Team Rocket now. The Space Mafia.
The Space Mafia.
Rather than a Pokemon Mafia, they're Space Mafia.
I
still can't believe in the first episode they just said that term.
Space Mafia?
Yeah. They're like, who's that? They're just the Space Mafia.
The Space Mafia.
What else do you need to know? Very evocative.
The Hashalians.
Uh-huh, that's right. Space Mafia is better.
Team Rocket's better.
Yeah. The old Team Rocket's playing darts.
Yeah, they're playing darts. They turn the dartboard into a creature.
Who has some interesting ways of getting his gyaz.
Yes. Yes. You throw a dart, and if you don't get a bullseye, you get a punishment.
Like stepping on a... He takes your shoes off and basically makes you step on Legos.
Yep.
Repeatedly.
That makes you... Puts you on a Lego mat.
It's like... This is like a kid's YouTube video where you're trapped in a box with a lot of buttons.
Which what would make you scream any more than that?
Yeah. You push the wrong button and then your parents drop bugs on you.
Yeah. He comes to Joe. Joe sees him. And then he decides he'll play so a woman doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But instead he aims for the monster's face.
Yes, there's a bullseye on his face also.
Yeah, but he hits him in the eye.
Yeah, so his aim wasn't true, but...
And then he gets everyone out of their punishments.
Like he pulls them out and rescues them.
Yeah, but the monster wants to kill him for that.
Uh-huh. And so he just about does, kicks his rear.
Yeah,
this is about the time when my son started watching. He's like, why is he hurt? Is he dying? Why is his lip bloody? Just asking all those things. Then he's watched, like, the Rangers show up and they throw darts.
Mm-hmm.
And bad things start happening to them too. And then my son, he's very confused. It's just like, you know, me too, kind of. But it's just fun.
Yeah.
Don't think too hard.
Pink misses, so she gets pans dropped on her.
Because of course.
Blue misses, so he gets explosive pies thrown at him.
Again, naturally.
And red hits, but the electric chair is his reward.
Uh-huh. Your reward is being electrocuted.
Yeah. They're like, you're a cheater. And I'm just like, why did you think he wouldn't be a cheater?
Yeah, what about this seems honorable to you? Is it because he looks kind of like a samurai? You're like, samurai wouldn't lie.
He does kind of. I didn't put that together.
It's the dartboard.
But then Black decides that he's not going to play the game by his rules. He's gonna fight it, even though like he's going to make his own rules. And for Red,
he's like, there it is.
you taking the wheel yourself. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm. And so then Lollipop Orange shows up and throws throws him his own different morpher.
Yeah, he throws like a big case, and I was like, "What is?" I expected the morpher, but what's the case? It was his weapon.
Uh-huh. Which he doesn't have like the normal like wheel saber. His is like an axe.
Yeah, his is weird to me. I really like it in axe form.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure why it becomes a sword.
Yeah, just leave it an axe.
Why does the axe, like a sword that becomes a gun, whereas I have now realized they are screwdrivers who become gas pumps. But a sword that becomes a gun, that makes sense. But an axe that becomes a sword seems a little
silly. Have you ever played Monster Hunter and played the Switch Axe Chance?
You're right. It's a Switch Axe.
They're in their Capcom era. That's all.
They're in their Capcom era. It's cool. I like the way it looks. I like the addition of the little extra like shoulder armor for him. Mm-hmm. I know him and Orange are both going to have it. I don't quite understand it, but I like it.
I mean, he has like this little police lights.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Where?
On his shoulder.
Oh, does it? I didn't notice that if it does, but I don't doubt it. Well, because Orange is going to be construction themed. So
that's fun. I'm trying to find the images.
I just thought his shoulder armor, it could have lights. I am not arguing with you in this one.
Yeah, it has lights. It has red and blue lights.
Does Orange?
Orange, I'm looking at Orange. He does have shoulder armor, but it doesn't. I can't tell. I'm pulling up a bigger picture. Of course, this is going to... It's not those lights, but there is that shoulder armor.
Yeah, his looks more kind of like caution tape, it looks like.
It's cool, though.
If I'm looking at it a little...
Yeah. I just like how it kind of continues the speedometer on the chest.
Yeah.
I thought he gets to become a ranger, and he's real strong.
Well, he just gets his time to shine. I don't know that he's actually any stronger. No,
he's real strong. He's real strong. I can just tell.
I can officially say I like the suits. They're so silly. It took me so long. But I am officially at the point where there's just no denying it. I like the suits.
There is no denying.
They're good. What do you do?
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? They just work. Again, there's just an earnestness to the show that makes it work.
So he has a really good first outing. They really just let him shine in this fight.
Yeah, and then when they do their robot transformation, he has a vehicle that turns into guns.
Well, yeah, so there's two new vehicles. He actually gets to be the head.
Oh, that's right. He's the head, and then the other one is the guns.
Yeah, they come out. They've made two new vehicles, a patrol car and like a SWAT van. But yeah, they really just let him shine. He takes down the monster with a finisher.
I liked this big monster fight because it was at nighttime.
Yeah.
Which looked really cool.
And then, his car gets to be the head of Bundonio Bunderas. And the blue and pink are in different guns.
Because, you know. Naturally.
It's a shootout where he's throwing darts and they're shooting his darts out of the sky and they're going off like fireworks. And then what was his name? Dart On or something like that?
Something like that.
He like gets distracted by all the pretty colors. So mm-hmm. then Blue just finishes him by like rapid fire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. Shock and awe, I think they call it.
And then that's it.
That's it. That's it. And then he's part of the team.
Yeah, he's part of the team now. He's definitely going to be the do-gooder character. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely a likable chap.
Yeah. Again, he seems very like he's the knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
Sort of character.
Now we just got Orange to go.
I think it'll be soon.
I think it'll be soon too. I think we will probably get one episode with Black and the team, and then we'll get Orange. So next time we do this show, we'll probably
have an Orange Ranger.
We'll probably have an Orange, I would assume.
My first Orange Ranger.
You're first, yeah. My second official sort of kind of third.
Of course, naturally.
Well, the first clearly Orange Ranger was in Q Ranger. Let me send you a picture. You can decide.
Just look it up, too.
Well, I'll send you the picture.
Q Ranger. I mean, I can see the whole team.
Well, Q Ranger, that one's definitely orange.
Oh, yes. He's very orange.
Type in SPD Cat Ranger.
SPD Cat Ranger.
She's only in one episode.
I mean, I would say that's orange.
There's a lot of debate on whether she's an orange or white ranger, but the team already does have a white ranger. So,
I mean, I could see the argument for either.
Yeah, I lean towards orange for her just because the SPD Omega Ranger is already a white ranger for the team.
Uh-huh.
But, you see, that's why I said kind of. Oh, and it's actually my fourth. I forgot. Cosmic Fury had an orange.
Now this I gotta see.
The Cosmic Fury Orange Ranger?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you know much about Cosmic Fury, do you?
Not anything.
Oh.
Do-do-do.
It's pretty much the end of Power Rangers.
Oh, yep, that's very orange.
This was never... Cosmic Fury was never a Sentai, though.
Why not?
It was unique to America.
Did it do very well?
Well... So it's a whole thing, right? It's a whole thing. It was the 30th anniversary, 10 episode mini series that kind of ended Power Rangers. It's got some cameos from past Rangers in it.
Mm-hmm.
Billy is a main character, as kind of a mentor of the team.
Interesting.
They use the Q Ranger Zords and use their Zord footage, but they made their own suits entirely. So, it's interesting for sure.
That is interesting. I don't know really anything about the history, so I can't really talk to it or even know what questions to ask about any of it. But I am excited to get an Orange Ranger in this show.
Yep, Moon Orange. Cosmic Fury is the only female Orange Ranger, unless you count the Cat Ranger.
I think I would. I think I'd count the Cat Ranger as orange.
Yeah, I tend to.
Cat Manx.
Yeah. You might like SPD. It's a good one.
I think I watched some SPD, like as a child.
We were teens when it was out, I think.
Maybe I didn't. Why do I feel like I've watched some SPD? SPD. Emergency. I can hear that in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I think I watched a little bit with my kids. Because they're a dog creature.
There is an anthropomorphic dog that becomes a human ranger, yes.
Okay, yeah, I think I watched some of this with my kids.
He's also one of the most BA rangers in the entire series.
As he should be. Yeah, I think that's it. I remember watching it with them.
SPD is a good one.
My youngest has said he wants to watch them, so I need to find some to watch.
Yeah, there's not as much... There's not as much as when your oldest was into it. A lot of it's been taken off of Netflix and such.
That's a real bummer. I feel like a Power Rangers would be easier for him to get into than a Sentai, because reading, he can't. Yeah. And I don't want to read it.
It's true. You guys could watch Kamen Rider Dragon Knight together.
Is that in English?
Yeah, Kamen Rider Dragon Knight was the... not a failed adaption, because people really like it.
It never caught on, though.
It never did. It was kind of in this weird spot where they were trying to like market it towards teens. But it's a Power Rangers concept. It's like an American story and American actors, but then they use the
footage from the
fight footage from Kamen Rider Ryuki, which was like the modern Kamen Rider is Kuga Agito Ryuki. So it was the third of the modern era.
Okay. Well, there's a little bit of Kamen Rider history for everyone and Power Rangers history.
I've seen the first 5 episodes of Dragon Knight. It's pretty good.
Okay. I might have to check it out. But Boon Booncher is fun.
Yeah.
We're having a good time.
I feel like they'll have to get more into a serial structure at some point.
Uh-huh.
And start building some more like
tension.
But right now, I'm loving where we're at.
Yeah, because you know, there's like the bigger bad, the Giovanni, as it were, behind the curtain. It's got to be going somewhere. But at this moment, we're just no longer the ride, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the ride.
It's enjoyable in a way that the first episodes of Gotchard like weren't.
Yeah, I think I was trying to make myself like the first episodes of Gotchard more than I like truly did.
And that's okay.
Yeah. So.
But I think we're at the end. So I do want to say thanks to everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. Be sure to check us out on Instagram over at henshin.fever. Also, if you listen to the show, like what you hear, if you could rate and even write a review on your podcast app of choice, that would be so choice.
So helpful.
We would love it. If it was 5 stars. I'll be a beggar. 5 stars.
Yeah, yeah. Please give us 5 stars.
And smash that subscribe button, as they say on YouTube.
Climb the steps and ring that bell.
Mm-hmm. Give this podcast episode a big thumbs up. Tell your friends.
I don't know what we're even saying anymore. I'm tired. Very late.
It's very late. Yes. But be sure to do that. We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at henshin.fever as well on Instagram. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us. I might not see it for a few days because I don't check Instagram a whole lot except for my main page, because I send videos back and forth to my wife of just funny things that we see. That's mostly what I use Instagram for. There's a lot of funny things on there. But I don't know if we'll be here back next week. That I think maybe.
Yeah, if we want to catch up next week.
We catch up with the next two Gotchard and the next two Boom Boomgers. Mm-hmm. Is the plan, I think, at this moment. So be on the lookout for that 2 weeks back to back, just because we missed it.
Yeah, and we really like these shows.
Yeah, I'm enjoying watching it. Even with a couple of down episodes of Gotchard, I still like where it's going.
Well, you seem to like these episodes more than I did, but yes, I still
agree. Yes, I mean, I do think they were a pause in the greater action. I was disappointed that they weren't what I thought that they were going to be, because if they were what I thought they were going to be, it would be amazing.
Yeah. It's but, really bad
loss. Mm-hmm, so that's more on me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think from all of us here, I just want to remind you, don't change for anyone. Change for yourself. Henshin.